So today we're going to begin a series on the Holy Spirit. It's a perfect follow-up on the book that we've just been studying, the book of Mark, and it's a perfect follow-up to Caleb's excellent summary, beautiful summary that he did with the team last week. It was absolutely superb. So bless you, Caleb. I can't see you, but I've never heard anything so excellent and so beautifully summarized. So bless you, my dear brother. In Acts 1, verses 4 to 5, Jesus told his disciples to wait, big capital, wait, until they had been baptized with the Holy Spirit. This would empower them to go out and to do that which he had instructed them to do. In Mark 16, verse 15, Luke, and that's where we read that last week, I think. Luke references this in Luke 24, verses 49, the same thing. He says, wait until you are clothed with power from on high. After Jesus had gone to be with the Father to ask him to send the promised Holy Spirit, the gift of the precious Holy Spirit, the mystery, the Holy Spirit. So who is the Holy Spirit? I've been doing a lot of reading and a lot of listening over recent weeks, perhaps over the last year or so. And I've realized this, that I haven't heard a lot of teaching about the person of the Holy Spirit. I've heard teaching about being baptized in the Spirit, about the things of the Spirit, signs and wonders, but not about the actual person of the Holy Spirit. I know that we hear, and I've mentioned about the baptism, we've been filled, but who is the Spirit? Well, we do know from Scripture that the Holy Spirit is not in it, but a separate personality, absolutely part of the Trinity, but a separate person. In John 16, verse 7, Jesus says, I tell you the truth for your good, that I go away, then the Counselor will come to you. For unless I go away, then the Counselor will not come, but if I go, I will send him to you. In John 14, 16, 17, Jesus says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another Counselor to be with you forever. Jesus refers to him, the Holy Spirit, as another Counselor, another helper, hence a separate personality who has emotion, love, power, and he, the Holy Spirit, is in us, he's with us, and there are times when he comes upon us, with us, in us, and times when he comes upon us. Now we do know this, that the Holy Spirit's always been there. So if you read the Scriptures, in Genesis 1 it talks about the Holy Spirit moving or hovering over the earth, shaking, hovering, fluttering, like a mother hen over her chicks. And I've seen this when I was in the weekend used to go to my grandparents' farm, and I used to see chickens and all sorts of things, you know, all sorts of animals. But you'd see this mother hen getting her little chicks, just getting under her wings. And I've seen that. It's a beautiful, beautiful analogy. He's called Rakoff. And it's referred in the Old Testament. The Rakoff is, in this little scene I've just described, it's referred to only three times, but it's special. The Holy Spirit is also called Ruach, or breath or wind, and that's where the term pneumatic comes from. Today we're just going to have a look at three functions or three portfolios of the Holy Spirit, that he's with us, he's in us, and he comes upon us. Actually, as I was preparing this, it's like I thought, now to sort of categorize it with, in, and upon is not enough. It even though I'll explain it is not enough. It's like I could see this water splashing off the surface and going in different directions. I thought it's too difficult to try and put this into one category. And there are many, many instances in the Bible as you read from Genesis right through of the Holy Spirit moving in different ways through the wind, through water, through rain, through light, through fire, and even oil. Lots of analogies. But I just can't, you know, I just feel kind of this frustration that I can't really share with you the immensity, not the complexity, but the creativity of the Holy Spirit. He is with us. John 14:17, it says, "The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because he neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, and he will be with you, and he will come upon you." 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, it finishes, this is right at the end of Corinthians. That's what it says, and you've heard it many times. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God," the grace of Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And often you end a service with that. This is what I felt the Father saying about that this morning. Yes, my son, my precious Holy Spirit brings things together in harmony. Community, communion with each other and every one of us. Talking about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit brings things together. Shalom. Beautiful harmonies, beautiful harmonious sounds like oil in the mechanism. Wow. So the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us. He comes as our helper, our intercessor. In Romans 8:26, it talks about this. Our advocate, just like a lawyer. So you hire a lawyer to come and stand with you in court, and he represents you. Or she represents you. The Holy Spirit does that. Stands alongside of you in a work situation where things are in turmoil, things are happening, but he stands beside you and gives you that support and that love that you need. You see, we have a job to do, and the Holy Spirit is here to help us. I've said this many, many times, the task that he's given to us is absolutely impossible without him. Absolutely impossible without his help. In John 15:4, it says, "Abide in me and I will abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." The fruit is a result of the Holy Spirit living within us as you abide in the vine. You see, we've been designed to have the Holy Spirit with and in us. It says also in John 14:26, "He will teach us all things." I felt that little word this morning was something that I hadn't seen before about the communion function of the Holy Spirit. I hadn't seen that before. I'm really excited about that. I really am. Because he's the one that brings things together. I hadn't thought of it like that. But he's got a role to play even within church communities, but in work communities. He can be the communion, the one that can bring study groups or task groups together. I mean, I can get really excited about that. I hadn't seen it before. So where did it come from? I felt that was the Holy Spirit prompting that this morning. Deepens our knowledge of God, of Jesus. Man, I want to know him more. I want to know him so much more. Whew. The Holy Spirit also prepares places and spaces so that we can come into the Father's presence anywhere, anytime. And I'd love to share a bit more about that, but I haven't got time this morning. And I think I will say that some of the things I'm going to share this morning, you're going to hear snippets of these over the next few weeks. But he prepares holy ground. He prepares, I don't know if you've ever been in that state. I was like that yesterday. I can't remember exactly. That's right. It's at home in the family room. And all of a sudden, I felt I just need to lie down. If we had any visitors, they'd probably think I'm crazy, but I felt I just had to lie down. It's like there was a place where I just had to be still before him. And it was probably a place of holy ground. He is also in us. He is in us. In Romans 8:9, it says, "You, however, are controlled not by sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So if you're a follower of Jesus, good news, people, you have the Spirit of God living within you. Sometimes we have to welcome him, but he's within you. We have the Holy Spirit as a result of being born again. And we are unique people. We are aliens to this world. You see, what happens when you've got the Spirit of God living within you is you see things that others don't see. Every one of us, we need to sometimes cultivate that, but we see and sense things. Like I could look out and see things on people, as James was talking about this morning. We see things in people and on people. And in a work situation, you need to cultivate that more for the Father to give us insight into some of the things that are going on in a workplace. Maybe the criticism, maybe not resolving a problem, and they've looked at it time and time again. We can invite the Holy Spirit to give us an answer, and he can give us dreams. It's also like, where's Greg? It's also like a trout fisherman, you see. Greg's a trout fisherman. And I've been out with my brothers who are really good trout fishermen, but they see things in the water. They say, see that there? I said, no. Yeah, but can't you just see that? No. You see, their eyes are trained to see things. You talk to Greg, he'll tell you he sees things. He knows where to throw his lure. Same with a hunter when you're actually out hunting. I talked to Dave Moody about this. The only time I've ever been hunting was actually hunting for deer. And yes, we got two within a few minutes. But it was amazing because it's like they see things. So that's what he means here by being sort of aliens, that we have eyes to see through the Spirit. We are born again to walk in the ways of the Holy Spirit. His mission too is to make us holy. That's why he's called holy, Holy Spirit. He's holy. He is holy. So his mission is to transform us. We heard about this last week. We're on a process of being changed from glory to glory. Transformation process. I like what John Wesley has said, and I've quoted this before. Worldliness is that which calls our affection towards God. So if there are things in your life that's causing you to not feel so good about God, maybe there's something that's just sneaked in that you kind of need to flick out. I used to call them black monkeys. Anyway, just drop that one in. When the precious Holy Spirit resides in us, we become sensitive to negative things. As Jesus' disciples, our lives should be displaying the good news. We are conduits or reflectors of his love and grace. We'll be singing about that this morning. Here's something I really love. We are presenting Christ. We are re-presenting Christ. We are presenting Christ in our demeanor, in the way that we treat people. Re-presenting Christ. Thank you for that, Bill Johnson. We are carriers of his presence. We are. We carry it. I've seen this time and time again. I loved what James shared at Kingdom School with our students on last week. And I've never heard. It was an excellent talk on kingdom leadership. And he talked about a situation at work. I'm not going to tell you his testimony, but it was neat because he wasn't aware of the influence that he's having on a student at work. Positive impact on that student until he left in Melligan last week, and she gave him a card, and she just said, thank you for the influence that you've had on my life. You see, we don't know what we carry. We don't know what we carry. He wants our whole being, though. This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Talks about that in Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto him. This is our reasonable level of worship. This is our worship. We have to constantly, like Paul said, battle against the negative stuff. Battle against the enemy. We've got to do that every day. I have to. All the time. We're battling against those things. Our thoughts, our emotions, our time, and our resources belong to him. Everything we have belongs to him. Rosemary and Graham will be talking about tithing. I'm just going to say this. I've said it before, that he gives us the money. We earn that. All he's saying is, I want 10%. You can do what you like with 90%, but I want 10% from you. But the beautiful thing is he multiplies it. He transforms us. We also become transformers. We have DNA, kingdom DNA in our blood. We have got royal blood. You can stand up and say, I'm the child of a king. I'm a prince. I'm a princess. I'm the child of a king. And nothing can come against us. And I mentioned about the fruit. Well, the fruit is pretty simple. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. Da-da-da-da. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So if I'm employing people at work, I would need to display those qualities in my lifestyle and the way I treat people. To me, it's just a given. He comes upon us. In Acts 1:8, it says, but you will receive power when my Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. In Wellington, in Thorndon, in Wadestown, in Nio, in Newlands, Corocorra, Petone, wherever he's placed you, you will be my witnesses. And we can experience the Holy Spirit, and you'll be hearing about this more over the next few weeks, many times through the baptism. It's not one baptism. There's an initiation, I believe, but there are baptisms of the Holy Spirit. Springs of living water will well up out of you. I'm feeling dry. Go and take a drink. One drink, rivers of living water will flow out of you. One drink, because he's a God of exponential growth. We can experience him anytime, anywhere, time and time again. But you will receive power, the dynamis power, when my Holy Spirit comes upon you. We're talking about power's power. And you will be my witnesses wherever he's placed you. Wow, it's amazing. The Holy Spirit is the greatest transformer, that he can use us ordinary people, to transform atmospheres wherever he's placed us. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we live a life that we've actually been designed for. We function out of him. It's actually at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. It was the partial fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. Why am I saying partial? Because I think we haven't seen the completion of that. We've seen stage one, but I think there's stage two where the sons and the daughters will rise up, and you read it. I haven't seen that, but we are going to see it. We're seeing that with our children in this church. It's coming. The Holy Spirit is moving in a greater way in our sons and daughters, because they will prophesy and do things that you're going to go, why should they be doing? How can they do that? I hope we're not like the disciples when Mary put the oil over Jesus. I hope we're not going to be like that when little children start to see, you know, signs and wonders through children. How can they do that? We're all different, but power is power, and expect God to visit you in a way that's right for you. Dr. Gordon Fee says that we're experiential people, so therefore we can experience the Holy Spirit to kind of mess with our emotions, but it's going to be different for all of us. For me, it was after a time of being dry and a time of seeking. I was very hungry, so I spent weeks and weeks. I knew nothing about the term baptism in the Spirit. I didn't know that, but I knew I needed the Spirit. I needed that. I needed a refreshing. So I spent weeks just praying late at night. I was dry, thirsty, and hungry. After I'd been working a lot with young people, it's like I was just empty tank. This is years ago, before many of you were born. Anyway, Galatians 3:5 says, I ask again, does the Holy Spirit give you power, the power of the Spirit, and work miracles among you as a result of you trying to obey the Jewish laws? And this is my interpreter. Then it goes on to say, no, it's when you believe in Christ and fully trust him. And I thought, yes, I do believe in Jesus. I know I'm born again, but am I prepared to trust him to baptize me in those days, to zap me, to touch me, to fill me, whatever term you like to use, because I didn't have that terminology, with his Spirit? Because I was putting these demarcations, because the people that I knew that had been, quote, touched by the Spirit were a bit strange, to be honest. And I thought, I don't want to become too strange. And I don't know about this teaching, this talking in tongues thing, because I was in a church where they didn't talk about it, didn't talk about the Holy Spirit, didn't talk about being baptized in the Spirit. They didn't, in fact, one lady gave me a book once to say that it was a sinful thing to speak in tongues. I never read the book. That was the atmosphere, that was the environment that I was in. Fortunately, there were also people there who had been touched by the Spirit. So I had these barriers up. I had to get to a point where I was prepared to say, yes, I will fully trust you to do whatever you want in my life. And if I speak in tongues, if I'm a bit crazy, that's actually okay. Just add to who I am anyway. So that's what happened. Late one night, the Holy Spirit did come on me. And I just fell in love with Jesus in a way that I've never fell in love with him. It was beautiful. It's never, ever gone. It's never faded. I fell in love with him, and it's just given me a hunger for more and more and more and more and more and more. I fell in love with Jesus. So I love coming down here on a Saturday night, because you guys are not here. I can be as crazy as I like. So I did get to a point of fully trusting him. Then it set us off on a journey. And many of you heard some of the stories. In 2006, 22nd of September, the Holy Spirit opened up my eyes to the wonder of him preparing a place and a space that I could come into the Father's presence. So I don't even have to do that, you see. We don't have to do that. So every morning as part of my quiet time, my practice is to lie on the floor, and I just invite the Holy Spirit to come. And he prepares the place, and all of a sudden I've connected with him. Even last week, a couple of days ago, I started to sing a song when I was there, and the words I got out was, in the prayer, in the presence of holiness, I couldn't even say the word holiness. I couldn't even speak. It's like all of a sudden I was just connected with him. I thought, Matt, I think I'll stay here. I thought, I've actually got an appointment with James at 9:30, but I'd rather be in this place. You know, what I'm saying is, it nothing to do with me. It's the Holy Spirit. He does the work for us. Precious Holy Spirit so wants to bring us into the presence of the Father. It's like the story of Mary and Martha. If you're hungry, he will come and satisfy, letting go and letting God. There is more, because if there wasn't more, he wouldn't put that hunger in us for more. So we're never going to be satisfied in a sense. We're always going to have a drink. Special moments. I'm learning to capture those special moments. I don't care where I am. I'm just going to stop and be still. Don't trip over the manifestations, people. It's easy for us to let the manifestations of the Spirit get in the way. You don't want to stand up here and cry like Martin's crying. Of course you don't. But don't trip over that. Fall in love with Jesus. Don't let fear get in the way. We're all different, so he's going to allow us to have different encounters with him. Randy Clark, I love what he says. He said there's two ways of experiencing the Holy Spirit. One is the laying on of hands. The other one is not laying on of hands. Man, I've had both. I didn't want anybody to touch me, because I didn't want to look back on this and say, oh, they pushed me or they touched me. I didn't want that. So the Holy Spirit met me on my own, in my own place, my own space. And several years later, I remember, and the Holy Spirit was moving beautifully back in the mid-90s. And this man came up to me, and we were at a big meeting in the States. There's a whole story behind this. I need to put it in my book. Anyway, as you say, isn't it? Anyway, the Holy Spirit was moving. The pastor stopped the service. And I remember he said to me and Chrissy, he said, look, welcome here. You can move around and pray for people. In my mind, I'm saying, look, I don't want to pray for people. I want to experience whatever is happening there. And this young man came up to me, and he said to me, would you like me to pray for you? In my mind, I'm saying, yeah, but I don't want you to touch me. Because if this is God, then it's going to be God. So a couple of meters between us, or 1 meter, he put his hand up. Like the next minute, I went flying back on the floor, and I was down there for 2 hours. That was just the start of many encounters as the Holy Spirit was working in my life and sorting things out. Some of it was scary. But I'm just sharing these with you because don't let fear and don't let manifestations get in the way. Okay? You want to see the fruit? But don't deny the power, because power is power. Even Anna, when she was about 9, I'll never forget that. We had a meeting and some ladies came up, happened several times, and they said, "Would you please pray for us?" And I said, "No, I don't think I will. I think I'll get my daughter to do that." Anna had braces. Sorry, Anna, to embarrass you, but she was standing. This woman came up, and she Anna just stood there. She said, "I don't know what to do." She just lifted Anna down here, lifted her hand up like this. You probably don't remember this. She lifted her hand up like this. This woman went flying backwards, and Anna did too. That was just the start. You see, little children. You know, there's so much more I could say, but about the precious Holy Spirit, and we've just scratched the surface. So who is the Holy Spirit? What's Martin on about today? Well, I really like what Ken Fish says about this. He is the gift from God the Father. He is not Jesus, but he's like Jesus. He's another counselor, an advocate, a helper, a comforter. He comes alongside of us and is unique to us as followers of Jesus. Here's what distinguishes us from the non-believers. He was with the 12 when Jesus was alive, but he would be with them when Jesus returned to be with the Father and take residence. I love that word, and take residence in them. He draws us into a love affair with the Father and the Son. And you know what he does? He makes life better. The Holy Spirit brings us into the Father's presence. He is the oil in the mechanism. And he brings community. We don't function well without him. The Holy Spirit puts oil or wind into the mechanism so that it doesn't run dry, because that's what is what will happen if we don't have the Spirit of God living within us. There's so much more I'd love to share, but I think we'll just close with that. So I don't know this morning, I just don't know how you guys feel, but if you're tired and thirsty, come and drink. Even if you're not tired and thirsty, come and drink. There's enough for everyone. So I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit. I mean, even to say, come on, Holy Spirit, kind of upsets me a bit. Because I feel like we'd become demanding of him. I don't know if I've got the right to say, just come. You know what I mean? Because he's sensitive. I want to show respect and love towards Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. I don't want to become blasé about it. Because he's holy. I don't want to criticize him. I want to love him. Well, I think this morning I'm just going to invite him to come. And you can stand. You can come up the front if you want to. You can lie in the aisles. I don't really care. I mean, if I'm crazy enough to do this, then you can... Oh, I love it. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't this beautiful? Thank you, Father. I didn't think I'd ever do this, but, you know, isn't it beautiful? Isn't this fantastic? Why not? Why can't we be liberated in the church? Why can't we do that, guys? So come, Lord, upon... I do that every week for you guys. You're not here to see it. Well, now you've seen it. So... I think Chrissy thinks I'm crazy, but that's okay. She's now saying to you, "Are you going down to CV?" I said, "Yep, can't wait to get down there." Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are here. But I'm going to invite you to come if you want to come. And you could come and lie, rest. I'll get James or somebody to play some music. We've got a little bit of time. Amen. And just let him do what he wants to do. Just invite him to come and baptize you again, you know, refresh you. You feel like crying like me, that's actually okay. If you feel like giggling, that's okay. The Lord gave us a word at the start of the year saying, joy is going to be evident in the house this year. So if it's a little giggle, it's okay. Who cares? Nobody's going to worry. Just engage with him and let him come and refresh you again. So I want some music. And if we've got Nicholas James Band, I don't mind. I'd love you guys to come and do something. And, man, this is just the introduction. We're going to be having a feast over the next month or two. So, Father, I just thank you. For this morning, Father, I do feel your heart for us as your people. And you're really inviting us to come and drink. Come immerse ourselves in your love and your grace. To splash around like little children, to laugh and to giggle, to be free. And precious Holy Spirit, would you be so kind to come and touch us with your grace this morning. Baptize us again. Fill us again. Refresh us again. Please engage our minds with you this morning. And remove any blockages that are there. Spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. In Jesus' name, I invite you to come. So if you feel like you want to just come and lie down up here, very, very welcome. Do you want to lie in the aisles, the walk, grab a flag? I don't really care, but just be yourself this morning. Just imagine just you. It's the Holy Spirit that can turn a big theatre, a big arena like that one across the road, and he can come and just be alongside of you and be with you in a way that you never have before. He can turn that into a cathedral, and he can do that here this morning. But I would be wrong to move on to the next day, to the food and everything else, but without giving him the space this morning. So, precious Spirit, come. Please come. Yeah.